Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh.
God is the head of our lives, and that God is in control.
We want you to get ready. Get ready for an exciting study of God's word. For the word of God say, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. For the word of God says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So this morning, we're getting ready at this time to go before the throne of grace. And we'd like to invite you to come and go with us as we go before the Lord. Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. Thank you, Father God, for all that you have done. We thank you, God, for being our Jehovah Jireh. We thank you for being our provider. We thank you, Father God, for supplying all our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. We ask you, Father God, even today, as we study the word, God, give us the understanding for your purpose for our lives, God. Give us that revelation of your word, God. We ask you, Father God, to touch the many listeners and hearers of the word on today, that, God, that they'll be compelled to go forth, God, that they, God, will let you, Father God, God, be the head of their life, Father, that they'll be able to seek your faith, God, that they'll be able, Father God, to be a proven witness for the kingdom of God. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for all of our students. God, we thank you, Father God, for the professor, Professor Kathy Missick. And we ask you, God, to move today, stir our hearts, and give us greater understanding of your word. And for this, God, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, we are again, this is Jehovah Jireh International, and we are centered in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Our location is 5045 Soutel Drive here in this bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and I am the CEO of Jehovah Jireh International. Well, we're getting ready to get to go into some spectacular studies of the word of God. We have been studying from the book of Exodus, and we want you to get ready because Exodus is a book of redemption, and we thank God for the redemption power of God that he paid 2,000 years ago that we could have a life to the tree of life. Thank God that he gave us and will forgive us for our sins. We are excited about our study on today and on every Saturday that we have the opportunity to come to every city and state that are listening and on board and excited about the word of God. So we want you to get your pencil, your paper, pen, whatever you have, your tape recorders, anything that you need in order to make this study purposefully for you. Now, we're getting ready to hear the woman of God. We thank God for our professor, Professor Kathy Missick. This woman of God is a preacher, teacher. She is an apostle of Father God, of many of her people that she God has assigned to her. She's a woman of God, a speaker that has been invited to many places to teach the undecorated, uncompromising word of God. This woman of God, I must say, she is our assistant degree administrator for Jehovah Jireh International Institution under degree program. So at this time, I want you to get excited. I want you to get ready for to hear Professor Kathy Missick. Kathy Missick.
Bless you on this blessed and beautiful day that the Lord has made. We thank God for our space being here, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. As we go back into our studies for this week, wanted to do a recap on where we left off. We were talking about expounding on the Ten Commandments, And I believe we left off at the fourth commandment. But just to recap on the first four commandments, and they are, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or what is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to serve them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord thy God, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless, he that taketh his name in vain. And number four was, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. The six days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And I believe on that particular day, I know we talked about how the Sabbath day was on a Saturday and where the conversion or the change came about as to why Christians worship God on a Sunday as the Sabbath day. And just to do a slight recap before we go any further, about the third century, the second going into the third century, Constantine was the ruler of Rome, of the Roman Empire, and he became a Christian. And in doing so, he passed the law throughout the Roman Empire declaring that Sunday will be a day of rest, and that was then converted to the Sabbath day. And he did that to kind of compromise with the other pagan gods and pagan followers, and just made a couple, because Jesus rose on that Sunday, and that Sunday was a rest for him, and therefore he incorporated and made a decree and passed that Sunday would be the day of rest as opposed to Saturday. And down through the years, through the millenniums, it has been followed, and it God has allowed that to be so as to why we worship on a Sunday and we consider our Sunday as our Sabbath day. So with that being said, let us go and continue to with the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment was honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We ought to honor our parents. This means that it shows them respect directly and indirectly through our actions. Our parents, not all parents have good examples, but we have a Heavenly Father, which is our best example. And whether our parents, natural parents, have been in a place to show lead by a good example, it is still without excuse. Sometimes it may not be as easy for some as it is for others to obey and value and reflect the standards that we know is right, but the Bible still commands us to honor thy father and thy mother. Even though our view on them sometimes may be different, if we feel that they may not be honorable, but still, we know what is right, and the right thing to do is to honor our mother and our father, because it allows our days to be long in the land of the Lord, in the land which the Lord our God giveth us. So again, we are without excuse. It doesn't say honor them if they're right. It says honor them irregardless. And these are concerns that we can take before the Lord, whether or not your view, if they're honorable or not. And we can always uplift them, of course, in prayer. But it does not exempt us from obeying the word of God. So we have no excuse, and therefore we are not exempt from that. We have a duty and a right unto God, and that is to honor our parents. The sixth one is, thou shalt not kill. God values life. Each son and daughter is precious to God, and so therefore he commanded us not to kill, unless it's a time of war, of course, but just under the general consensus. If you don't like a person, you don't have a right to take that person's life. You don't have a right to deem whether that person has a right to live or not to live. There's always a diplomatic way of handling and resolving conflicts. There's always a way to do that in a godly resolution form. So unless it is self-preservation, meaning self-protection, protecting yourself, a time of war, God has made it very clear that killing is wrong. So we do not have the right to kill. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. One of the first instructions that God gave Adam and Eve pertaining to their marriage relationship was, according to Genesis 2 and 24, that therefore man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cling unto his wife, and the two, and they shall become one flesh. That was Genesis 2 and 24. So when a husband and a wife, when they're unfaithful to each other, they create, when they are faithful to each other, they create one of the best possible environments in which they can raise their children. Adultery shreds relationships. It leaves spiritual, psychological scars and on everyone that's involved. And it leaves that brokenness in the family. In the New Testament, Paul emphasizes the importance on keeping this commandment in Galatians 5:19-21. He talks about marriage and how honorable marriages are. This is a commandment as all that will never be changed. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It is not the will of God. There are ramifications for divorce that God had allowed a divorce decree, a written decree for divorce, but there is no way that God is honored or pleased for any reason or justification that one may feel they are justified by to commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. This particular commandment emphasizes definitely on you taking something that does not belong to you. You know, you shall not steal. You can't be dishonest. You know, we're not to submit falsified information or anything. Stealing is more than just taking something that does not belong to you. Even ethically, we shall not conduct ourselves in an unethical manner whereby we're getting something that is not rightly entitled to us. That is a form of stealing, being deceptive and deceiving others to get something that is not yours. Dishonestly gaining anything dishonestly can also be considered stealing. The ninth is thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Simply put, you cannot tell a lie against your neighbor. This is encouraging you to speak the truth. Wherefore, putting away any lying and speaking and always speaking the truth against your neighbor. It talks about that in Ephesians 4 and 25. People who misrepresent others or speak rumors about other people's characters and bear false witnesses against your neighbor without a cause or being deceitful with your lips, and this talks about that in the book of Proverbs, we have to be very careful what we say and how we relay sometimes information that's been given unto us inadvertently. If you don't get all the facts inadvertently, you could be bearing false witness against your neighbor. It is always important to get all the facts. Don't misrepresent or spread rumors about a person or a person's character when you don't know the full scope of the truth on a matter. And the tenth and final commandment was thou shalt not covet anything of thy neighbor's. It talked about your neighbor's possessions, his wives, his assets, and things of that nature. We don't have to covet. God will bless us just as he's blessed others. He's of no respect of person. If he did it for one, he's truly able to do it for another. A person who covets and desires something expressively, simply, you know, admiring an item or working hard to accomplish is not necessarily coveting something. You can admire something that someone else have, and you can work hard to get it, but rather than wanting it just because you see someone else have it, or you're wanting for the wrong reasons, then you have to be careful of coveting. It makes it kind of hard, and it cautions us to make sure that we're not wanting worldly items and worldly possessions as our priority. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 that let our conversation be without covetedness and be with content with such, and we should be content with whatever things that we have, for God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. He will always be there for us and with us to give us whatsoever things that we need. And the Bible tells us that if you just delight yourself in serving God, then he would give you the desires of your heart. So therefore, we don't have to covet what another person has. God is well able to supply us and bless us just as he has blessed others. So we thank God for just bringing to the conclusion of the Ten Commandments, wanting to go further that in this. So we're going to look into, finish up chapter 20 and look into chapters 21, 22, and 23, be it the Lord's will. Now, the Ten Commandments were verses 1 through 17 in the 20th chapter, and these are the laws of God, just the basic laws of God. Now, verses 18 through chapter 23, the entirety of chapter 23, it now gives the laws in detail and what God is, now God is about to break down all of the Ten Commandments in details as to what he was, he requires of his people. So let us go there at this time. So we find that in the latter part of the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, that this is the response to Israel, and we'll find the promises in which God, the provisions in which God was wanting the people to approach him. Also, when we look at chapter 21, when we go into that, it talks about the judgments. There were social regulations that God had on us. He has rights to other persons, and he has rights to a person's property. Chapter 22 will talk about the moral regulations, how we are to conduct ourselves morally with the proper conduct and how we are to use proper justice when we are judging things or being fair with people. And chapter 23 will definitely talk about the religious regulations. It talks about the Sabbath year and the different feasts and things that God requires in celebration and what we are to do in honoring him. And the latter part of chapter 23 will discuss how God led his people, how he's leading them, and the regulations and ramifications of that. So let us now go to the latter part of chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. Exodus 20 and 18, it discusses how God began to present himself with thundering and lightning, and the people were fearful. And they said unto Moses that they didn't want God to come down unto them because they were in fear of their life, because they knew God was powerful, majestic, and all, and they knew God was a God that led them by day with a cloud to cover them, and then led them and protected them with the fire by night. So they knew the power of God, and they were fearful and fretful. But Moses encouraged the people in verse 20 that God was coming down to speak with them, to test them and to prove them so that they would not sin. That the reason for God coming to talk to them so that he can set in order a protocol and put the fear in them so that they would not err and do anything they wanted to do, that they would then have a reverence for God and a fear of God so that they would not be so easily deceived and be more mindful of their actions. And in doing such, verse 22 talks about what the Lord had told Moses to tell the people of God. And let us read there. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. And in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewed stone. For if thou lift up any tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shall thou go up thy steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness may not be discovered thereon. So he was telling the people, instructing Moses to tell the people how not to make graven images of him, of any gold, and not to make any images for themselves to worship of any type of any gold, or not to make of him of any silver. He also began to tell them that when they were to make an altar of earth, meaning of wood, that they should, and what they were to sacrifice on the altar. And he began to also tell them that they shouldn't make, and every place that he would lead them, that he would record his name, that he wanted to be remembered in that place, that they were to make an altar unto him and sacrifice the different sacrifices that he had spoken to them in the book of Leviticus, that they, the types of sacrifices that they were supposed to sacrifice. So he was instructing them what to do and how to do what he wanted them to do, making very plain unto them the way he wanted them to conduct themselves. He also stated that if they made an altar of stone, that the stone was not to be hewed out, meaning chipped out or chiseled out or cut out of any stone of any kind, because he didn't want those tools touching it to pollute it or to make it unclean. And he didn't want them to take any, to raise it above where they would have stairs to walk up any stairs, because when you go up, he didn't want to reveal their nakedness. He didn't want that to be shown. So God was very particular and very precise as to what he wanted, and to keep the sanctity and the sanctification in honoring him in all things. The Bible tells us that no flesh should glory in the presence of God, and that God is a holy God, and we should reverence God in that manner. And we have to be very careful how we approach God, when we approach God, the mindset of which we approach God. Everything we do in approaching God should be intentional. And this is what he was wanting the people to know. he wanted them to be intentional. So when Moses told the people that God was testing you, he was wanting to set some things in order so that you'll know. He wants it to be intentional. So it's not haphazard. It's not that, oh, I didn't know, I was just doing this. That's not the God we serve. God has purpose in everything we do. There is purpose in us. And God is a God of order and of protocol. And as we go into the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus, he's now going into detail the rights of the people, explaining, breaking down and explaining the Ten Commandments. So in your leisure, I will not be going over the entire verse for verse of the chapters for the sake of time, but I did want to get as much of it as possible. So we'll do some in each chapter, but just know that chapters 21, 22, and 23 definitely talks about, it is describing in detail the commandments and the laws that God had given his people. So let us look at 21 and 1, and it says, "Now these are the judgments which thou shall set before the people. If thou buy a Hebrew slave, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free, not owing anything. And if he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. But if he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. For it says, and if his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons and daughters, and the wife and her children shall be their masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through and all, and he shall serve him forever. This is when he gave him an earring in his ear." I'm going to stop right there. Again, this is verse 6 says, "He shall put a nail through his ear and give him an earring, put a ring in his ear, and he shall serve him forever." A lot of people didn't understand the ramifications of the earrings in men's ear. This is a very touchy subject, but I'll just expound to you where it comes from. At that particular time, it showed that you were bound to your servant forever, to your master, I'm sorry, forever, as opposed to you had, because of the love of your wife and your children that you had obtained during your time of bondage, that you wanted to stay there because now your wife and children, had you bore children during your time of enslavement or your time of bondage, and if you loved your family and didn't want to leave your family, now this is the sacrifice that you had to give to the master, that you would be enslaved with them forever. You would not leave, and you would you have just jeopardized your freedom for the love of your family. And in doing that, this is how they recognized or made the differentiations that you were now a slave forever by having an earring in your ear or a hole in your ear, and they ringed it so they'll know that you were bound by them. Now, verses 1 through 6, these were, I understand this is Black History Month, and a lot of our eccentric roots are being made known, acknowledged, reminded, and we're able to show homage and show some of the things, express some of the things that our ancestors had to go through during slavery in their coming over to this country, and how they have found and build and mold and shape this great country that we so have the liberty to live in. When they were brought over as slaves, they were slaves, and their masters, a lot of their masters were Christians. And as they began to read the Word of God, and God began to touch the slave master's heart, they began to see the injustice that they were inputting on the people, on the slaves. And therefore, a lot of the changes, as it opposed to the rights to the slaves, came through the Word of God. So therefore, where it says here that for 6 years that they, your manservants or your maidservants will work for you, your servants had 6 years to work, and on the seventh year, they can go for free. This was also encompassed with some of the guidelines for freeing the slaves 200 plus years ago through the Word of God. And that these were also some of the guidelines that the people were thinking that they were within their rights to enslave people that were not of their kind and that were from different countries because of the Word of God. But God began to touch the slave master's heart to free the slaves based on the Word of God. And therefore, they were in bondage to them, and some were able to be free on the land, and some of them, of course, stayed. But it also states here that that if the slave, if the servant had his wife, then they could leave. They were both free. And then it goes on, of course, to say that if the children were born unto them in slavery, that then they belong to the master. So let us go forward. Let us look at verse 23 of the book of Exodus. And it says that if any, let us look at verse 20, let us go up to verse 22. If a man strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follows, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay his judgment, and he shall pay as the judgment determines. This means that if a woman is with child and a man causes her through an accident to have a miscarriage, and it was and yet no mistake followed, no mischief followed, that there was no other actions. It was truly a mistake. It was nothing intentional, that he shall be punished. And his punishment shall be according to what the husband says his punishment should be. So now he's under the mercy of the husband. And whatever the husband say his punishment should be, then that's what the punishment will be as followed. Then 23 goes on to say about just general mischief in itself. And it says, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give a life for a life. Meaning that if there was trouble in that, and that life was taken, the wife's life was taken, the baby's life was taken, then it's going to be a life for a life. As well as if you're fighting and you kill somebody, then that's when it's a life for a life. Then it goes also to say, 24 says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a burning for a burning, a wound for a wound, a stripe for a stripe. So in the following mischief, these are the rights that one person has towards another person. These are the justifications or the justifiable rights in how we interact and how we coexist with each other. That if one thing happened, so if I kill a person, then they have a right and when it's done in mischievousness, to kill me as well. So if I poke out a person's eye, then I have the same right. I'm going to reap just what I sowed. And it goes on to say that, again, a burning for a burning, a wound for a wound, and a stripe for a stripe. And if any man smite the eye of his servant, because they deem servants to be second-class citizens. So if any man strike the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perishes. So the eye is gone and he's now blind. He shall let him go free for the eye's sake. And if any strike, any smite out of his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go for free for his tooth's sake. If an oxen gores a man or a woman and they die, then the oxen shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the oxen shall be guilty. Acquitted. So what this is saying, that even if an oxen kills a man or a woman servant, gores a man or a woman, not necessarily a servant, gores a man or a woman, then that oxen should be put to death. And if that oxen should be put to death, the meat of the oxen can't be eaten. It's just destroyed. That was the cost of the servant, or that was the cost of the owner of the oxen. So therefore, then the oxen would be put to death. The meat and everything, the owner would not benefit any at all from that. That's the owner's loss. And since that is now the owner's loss for what his animal did, then therefore the owner is now acquitted. He will be free from what had happened. However, if this happened, and it happened once before, and they didn't do anything to the oxen, and now the oxen is killed again or wounded someone again, now the oxen and the owner will be put to death. So we find here in the 22nd chapter of the book of Exodus, it talks about how God was allowing the persons to, these are the rules or the guidelines for the people to have for person to person. Now, and the rights of the property talks about in verse 21 and 33. So now we see that in verses 1 through 20, 1 through 32, I'm sorry, it talks about the rights of a person, how God is setting the guidelines and the rules as he explains in details what he meant in the Ten Commandments. Now, verses 33 on through chapter 22, verse 15, talks about the guidelines and the rights and respect of a person's property. The rights and respect of a person's property. We'll look at verse 33. It says, if a man shall open up a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, then the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner thereof of the animal that was of the dead beast, so that he can make right by that. This is, again, being what is right concerning the property when things happen, incidents happen concerning the property. Let us go to verse 1 of the 22nd chapter, and it says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep, and he kill it or he sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for 1 ox and 4 sheep for 1 sheep. God is, again, doing what is right and what is fair concerning another person's property. And if a thief be found breaking in, entering to the premises, and he be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. So if you catch a thief coming into your house and he's killed in doing that, then that's fair. No one is at fault. And looking at that particular justification as to how we are to respect another man's property, if you notice, we have those same rules, those same laws in effect on today, that the protect yourself, and that you have a right to bear arms and protect your property and your possessions. And if someone is breaking into your home and you protect your family and that person is killed in your home, then they won't charge you. You are exonerated from that. So looking at what God intended and how God began to set the guidelines and respect for property, it still stands today. Let us look at verse 18. Again, I'm just going through the chapter to get some, just to shed some light on some of the things that God, how detailed God was as it pertains to explaining and giving the children of Israel precise, clear, and concise instructions as to how and what he meant when he told them what thou shalt not do, because when he told them in the Ten Commandments, because we're without excuse. 18 says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now this, verses 16 through 31, talks about how we are to conduct ourselves one to another. It talks about the conduct. So this, now we're talking about the moral ramifications, or the moral regulations, or the moral responsibilities that we have, and the guidelines, how we are to behave and, again, conduct ourselves morally according to the Ten Commandments. And it says here that thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Even then, God was very clear concerning witchcraft and demonic activity. He said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. On verse 20, it says, thou shalt not sacrifice unto any god save unto the Lord only. He shall be utterly destroyed. 22, if ye shall not afflict any widow or any fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children shall be fatherless. So God took very serious how we treat one another and how we conduct ourselves morally as it pertained to, we're not to put any hardship and afflict widows or the orphan or the fatherless. And in doing so, and when they cry out to God, God will avenge them, because then God is definitely their covering. He said, I'm a father to the fatherless. And so therefore, he is now the fatherless father, and he's a husband to the widows. So now he is the provider for the widow. So therefore, he was telling them, if they put afflictions on the widows and the fatherless and they cry out to him, he will surely avenge for them. And in his avengement was to kill you, so that now your wife is now a widow and your children are now fatherless. Let us look at verse 29. Let us look at verse 29. Thou shalt not delay an offering of your first fruits, of the first ripe fruits, and of thy liquors, and the firstborn of thy sons shall thou give unto me. What he's saying here is, you're not to delay it. There is a certain time frame that God will allow us to bring the first fruits and to bring those things which is holy unto him, unto God. He says, thou shalt not delay to the offering, to offering the first fruit, the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors, and the firstborn of thy sons shall thou give unto me. 30 says, likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his mother. And on the 8th day thou shalt give it over to me. So we will be the Lord's will. Finish up on next Saturday the religious regulations as it pertains to, which pertains to the sabbatical years, the national feast, and the guiding and the direction and the protection of the Lord. I pray that this week has been a blessing to you, and I pray that in your leisure time, please go and read, retrack and read chapters 21, really through 23, so that you'll be somewhat abreast with what we begin to expound on next week, be it the Lord's will, so that we can flow together. Again, chapters 21 through chapter 23, it clearly goes into details and explains concisely what God meant in the 20th chapter as he gave the Ten Commandments, as he talked about how the Ten Commandments were the instructions and the laws for the people of God. The first verses 1 through 11 of the Ten Commandments, which is the first four commandments, talks about relating to God, the commandments relating to God and what God was expecting from the people. And the last six, which is verse commandments 5 through 10, commandments 5 through 10 talks about the relating to man, how we relate to one another. So again, I urge and encourage you, please, to read chapters 21 through 23 in its entirety as God gives us clear conciseness concerning his laws. God bless you, and may the Lord God forever be with you and keep you is my prayer. Receive ye now Dr. Mary Smith McCoy for final remarks. And
we would like to thank God for the word of God that was rightly divided by Professor Kathy Missig. It's an honor, and it's a blessing for you and for me to be able to hear the spoken word, the word of God that will bring life, the word of God will give us the knowledge that we can obtain so that we can live day by day. We need the word of God. We need not our own explanation of the word of God, but we need God's word to clarify, to give a precise leading to his word. And when we look and have looked at the book of Exodus, we thank God for the word of God that have been taught in our biblical study by Professor Kathy Missig. She began in Genesis. We are now in the book of Exodus, and it is so much that one can learn, so much that we can receive. There are things that you may have read and you didn't get clarity, you didn't get an understanding, you didn't have revelation as to what God was saying. That is the precise reason why we want you to join us at Jehovah Jireh International Institution. We are located again at 5040 45 Soutel Drive here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. There were so many things on the day that Professor Missick talked about. And I know that you had an ear to hear. And I know that some things that maybe you may not have read or may have read it and didn't get clarity, didn't get understanding for it. But when God gave us the law, gave us the Ten Commandments, gave us his word, it was a precise reason, the reason why the people in that time that they needed, like we do today, we need the word of God. So unless we lay aside some of the things that we are doing and get the word of God into our heart and mind, we will liably do anything. But I thank God for paying the price 2,000 years ago for you and for me. And I will admonish everyone to join us on Saturday mornings for biblical studies at Jehovah Jireh International. We are so blessed to be able to broadcast our studies. And I'm going to ask you to please call a neighbor, call a friend, and maybe even somebody you just met, and let them know that Jehovah Jireh International Institution has an excellent biblical study program. And matter of fact, it is broadcast on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. The word of God, God is faithful to his people. And one of the things I would like to say is that even when the woman of God was speaking and from that 22nd chapter of Exodus, it really brought back to mind as to what God is saying, because he was, yes, God meant what he says, and the instruction is important. Sometimes we fail to follow instruction. Sometimes we do things not according to God's righteousness, but we do according to our righteousness. And there was laws, there were commandments, that they had to follow. In that 20th chapter, that 21st, 23rd chapter, 22nd, 23rd chapter as well. And when you hear of certain things, when you read them, then you have to have clarity because of the fact that God is the one that will solve all of the issues and the problems and the things that you may go through. And certainly some things that we're talking about this morning, you may have experienced, but you have to allow God to have this perfected way in your life. Sometimes we will take things into our lives and we will cause things to happen that should not happen. Now, such as when one of the scriptures from the 22nd chapter, one of the books and chapter 22, verse 18, it says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Now, I want you to want to let you know the word of God says what it says. I want you to give you clarity and understanding if you know someone that is called a witch and have been labeled a witch. It is not for you to go and kill this person because you found out that this person is a witch. Or if a person that we read, it also said in that 19th verse, "Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death." Now, in the day, I'm almost finished, at this day and a time, that there are people that are doing the unspeakable and things that surely that is not of God. And they are having sexual encounters, human beings with beasts. What do you mean, Dr.? I'm saying with cats, with dogs, with animals. God did not, He did not design man to have sexual experiences and pleasure, as one may call it, with any human being. It is, that's why he made man. That's why he made woman. So when we read, it's important for you to listen and to hear a word of God so you can get clarity on when the word of God tells us certain things and all things that we can get clarity, that we can get understanding. It is a pleasure. It is an honor to have you to join us today at Jehovah Jireh International Institution Biblical Study. We would like to give a special invitation for you to join us on Tuesday. If you're here in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, our mission and evangelism class began from 4 until 6 p.m. On Tuesday. On Thursday, we have Christian psychology, and that is taught by none other than Dr. McCoy, which is me, and we have an awesome and wonderful time. It is so important for us in a day and a time that we live in so that we can understand what God has given to us for our purpose, way of being, especially in the day and the time and the things that are happening in our surroundings, in our home. We talk about schizophrenia, autism. We talk about bipolar disorders. We talk about human behavior and all of this. But, hey, do yourself a favor. Come, be a part of it, and that is that class is from 6 to 8 p.m., the Christian psychology. We will be beginning hopefully very soon that our degree class for biblical studies in class will give you that time in the institution that you can come, and you still can sign up right now. You can call 904-674-7831, and we will be more than happy to have you a part of the family of Jehovah Jireh International Institution. We always want to close out in prayer, and at this time, I would like to pray for you. Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we lift your name up high. We give you praise and glory. Father, we thank you, Father God, for our Professor Kathy Lissett, for using her, Father God, to inspire, to lift up, to give clarity, understanding to the people that you assign, Father God, to hear this word on today. Lord, we ask you, Father God, to let the word of God to be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their pathway. Father, I ask thee in the mighty name of Jesus that those are hearing, God, those that are in the hospital, Father God, those that are in their home, God, those, Father God, that need a word, a need to hear a word from you. I pray, God, that their ears have been receiving and their heart will receive that which you have given them on today. God, those that are sick, God, I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray, God, that those that are not saved, I pray, God, that you would save. Father God, that you would sanctify, fill them with your spirit and your power and your anointing. Father God, we thank you for what you've already done. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. And God, we look forward to you for instructing us in righteousness. And God, we thank you for all of the people here and there that have that is a part of Jehovah Jireh International Institution, especially, Father God, our directors, Father God, that you have given, and also, Father God, for our administrators. Father, we give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and God, we thank thee. Amen and amen. We want you to tune in on next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Jehovah Jireh International Institution. Until then, may God continue to bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May you be blessed in your going out as well as your coming in, is our prayer for you.